Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
What about our own planet? It's got more than a billion years of history we are only just now starting to understand. Paleogeologists are serious historians. They do not study the rocks under our feet. They imagine what rocks might have been under anyone's feet hundreds of millions of years ago. And it turns out that brand new ways of digitizing Earth's magnetic data, along with new ways of visualizing big data sets, have transformed the way we understand the very beginnings of our world. And we can suddenly watch how ancient supercontinents like Pangaea became the map we see today. Steve Levine is the Washington correspondent for Quartz, and he wrote about this research for QZ.com.
There is a magnetic signature that's locked into the lava that's at the bottom of the sea. And the original paleogeologists, they were dragging tools across the sea during World War II to help us find German submarines. The Navy thought this was so cool, so after the war ended, it funded them for 2.5 decades.
It's amazing. And then you've got in this article these amazing animations that show the continents coming together, becoming – there's Pangaea, and then you keep going up to about, you know, 600 million years. It becomes – what's the name of the next one?
Rodinia.
And then when you end up 750 million years ago, the continents are spread out in a completely different configuration.
That's right. The whole idea that the Earth has gone through these different configurations, if you go back 1 billion years, you have one set of continents. And if you go back another billion years, another set, and so on.
Well, talking about today, how do you think plate tectonics and continental drift and idea of supercontinents affects what's going on in the world today? Just off the top of my head, it seems to me that the earthquake zones of Japan and Pakistan and Nepal and those areas and the west coast of California are one of the legacies.
Well, that's right. What the plate tectonics tell you and what's so fascinating and I think just not spoken about is how geology has set the stage and continues to set the stage for what we watch. So in the case of earthquakes, back in 2011, two plates rubbed together east of China, caused a 9.0 earthquake. That triggered a tsunami that engulfed Fukushima. We all know about this, which caused France, Germany, China, and Japan to shut down their nuclear reactors, which then led to Germany to juice up its renewable fuel industry, which brought down the price of solar panels. You had this cascading reaction, all of them from geology. Today, we're looking at oil. That's a battle to the death of geologies. It's Saudi Arabia's geology, and it has declared a battle, a war against America's geology. And there's going to be blood on the floor. A third of American oil companies could end up in bankruptcy, and Saudi Arabia is putting itself under real pressure. It's having to impose taxes on its population for the first time, raise fuel prices, both of which risk unpopularity for the Al Saud family. And analysts think there's a very real danger of political instability in Saudi Arabia. The same dynamics are playing out in Russia. And again, all this flows from the battle of geology.
When you look at the continental drift configuration that we have in our time, would you say that we've been left with a set of lucky breaks with the way the geology has turned out, or has it been kind of a bad sort of noose around our neck, this oil and the addiction to energy and that sort of thing?
This is a big question about is oil a curse? Geology sets the stage. So for some countries, it's given them access to oil, to gas, to various minerals. And after that, it's up to humans to decide what they're going to do with it. And some countries have managed that well. Norway, for example, the United States hasn't done so badly with it. And then you have the Nigerias and the Equatorial Guineas that don't manage it well. I don't think you can call it a bad break. you can just say that all of the economic surge that we've seen over the last two centuries has been a confluence of two forces on Earth. One is geology. One is that there's been a capture of fossil fuels, of geology, coal and oil, but also this technological surge. And those together have given us everything that we've had. But humans need to intervene.
How would we determine in our exploration of space a signature of a planet that has plate tectonics if we were looking for intelligent life?
A couple of postdocs at the University of Washington appear to have come upon one way, and that's volcanoes. Looking at the signature of the atmospheres, they've been able to figure out how to determine if there's volcanism on planets. But what they need to do is they're waiting for the next big telescope that's going to be put into orbit. Right now it's scheduled to go up in 2018. They're hoping to put instruments on that space telescope and for the first time be able to try to detect volcanism on exoplanets way out there in the galaxies.
Plate tectonics, it was once a theory. Now it's a fact on Earth, and it may just be the key to discovering life in the universe.
Exactly.
Amazing. Steve Levine is a Washington correspondent for Quartz, author of the forthcoming book, The Powerhouse, America, China, and the Great Battery War. There's another story.
That's another story, yeah.
Thanks so much, Steve.
Thanks, John.